Nolan. You want to lead us?
Lord, I have your word and I know it's true.
Lord, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, you've just made a declaration in the heavenlies about God's word to you. So if you would be kind enough to turn to Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17, today's title of the message is, We Shall Live by Faith. Amen? We're all there? 1, 16 and 17. They have medicine for that. This is Paul writing, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? We are. We are the just. And we're to go from faith to faith, right? And sometimes I think we forget how good God is to us, because sometimes we take it for granted and sometimes we don't believe that what God says is true. And the problem with God's people is they've got to begin to start believing. And faith is believing God, right? Real simple. Just believing God. And to catch up our visitors of what we've been doing the last couple of years is we have been dealing with sin issues, then kingdom principles, applying those kingdom principles to the place that we knew that Jesus, when he died and rose from the dead, he placed us no longer worried about our condition, but placed us in a position of righteousness in which I will now sit down. Hi, Nick. No. I'm bringing everybody's minds into this to encapsulate what we're going to do. Are you ashamed of the gospel? It's no right or wrong. But we do have the cement made and ready to plant you. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are going to begin this year with such tremendous aspirations that we're going to watch God do some tremendous things in our midst. We're going to see him change us. Well, we've already seen him change us from the location where we were as a church gathering to here. But we're now going to see God's people begin to start growing in the admonition of God. And that takes faith to grow. And one of the things that I think that the people of God really need to realize is that when we are positioned, when I sat down in my position of righteousness, I no longer have to worry about the sin issue, right? Is that true? That's true. Jesus died on the cross to take care of our punishment so that we would not have to worry about the punishment. He also served in atoning us or winning us back to God and placing us in a position of justification, which is we're not considered guilty any longer. We're set free, right? We're justified by faith. And so if we're declared innocent of any crimes, then why are we still worrying about the sin issues of our lives? And this is all about our faith. We can stand there and make every kind of declaration we want, but until it becomes experiential, we don't have faith. We do not have faith. Hear me, church. Paul is trying to get us to understand that in the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel is the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there is power that God has given to his people. Do you believe this? Well, we're going to see if you believe it. Or do you believe it here? Or do you believe it here? For the people of God, for too long, for 2,000 years, the church started out mightily in power. And all of a sudden, for the next 1,970 years or so, it hasn't done anything except go into retreat, go into darkness. Until finally, at the end of the 19th century, going into the 20th century, God poured out His Spirit again because there was men, Evan Roberts, who was the beginning of the Welsh revival of 1897, who then brought that Welsh revival to Azusa Street in 1904, began to have the outpouring of the Spirit coming upon the land, and God proceeded to do what Peter had said in his first preaching in Acts 2, and that was, in the last days, God is going to restore everything as it was in the first. And the church is not a church that is not full of faith. The church is a church that is powerful beyond measure, of which you and I am part of that. Jesus Christ came to earth. He grew up as a man. He preached the gospel. He taught the gospel. He demonstrated the kingdom to us as an example. And then He died on the cross. He took our punishment. And when He died, His blood paid for our punishment. It washed us clean of all of our sins. And so the sin issue is not an issue any longer. It's an issue to you if you do not reckon your bodies as dead, as Romans says. We have to understand that the devil does not want God's people to grow and become that which he fears the most powerful person on a planet, the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember I said Satan will lie to us to keep us from the knowledge of the gospel, keep us from the knowledge of God's love to save us. His desire is to save us. And then when we got saved, Satan realized that he was thwarted there. And so what does he try to do? He tries to keep us from getting to the knowledge of who we are in Jesus Christ. Right? And that's where the church is today. The church is kind of schizophrenic. It wants to be in righteousness, but it also wants to mess around with sin. It wants the things of God, but yet it still wants to act worldly. And God is saying, you know, when you've done all you know to do, stand up. Stand up. And what do? We run around, you know, we get ourselves into trouble all the time, and then we ask God. Right? We do things that we're not supposed to because we don't look into God's Word. After all, God's with us on Sunday, but what about the last 6 days of the week? God wants you to know that He's intimately desires to be involved in your life, but you have to let the things of the world go. We are in the world, but we are no longer the world. And so what happens is we have to begin to understand that this position that I'm in, this position that you're in, is a position we must fight for continuously. Because that's who we are. We're in Jesus Christ. If we are not fighting for that position in Jesus Christ, then what are we doing? We're still playing around with sin. We're still pointing fingers at everybody. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to grow up. Once and for all, stop being like little kids and grow up. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And all of us know these scriptures. We know them well, maybe too well. But do we know them by faith or do we know them by just learnedness? And my job is to get you from faith to faith, get you from a head faith to a heart faith so that you can be Satan's most worst nightmare upon this planet before we're all taken out of here. For the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus, that one died for all, that all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14, sorry. Paul is telling us it's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's the love of Christ that keeps us from going into sin. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do these things, right? Kids love their parents, and we know they love us. Wow, because they'll do the things we ask them. At least they should. And Paul says that we should no longer live for ourselves. And the problem with the church is we've been delivered from the consequences of our sin, but we have not really begun to understand we've also been delivered from the power of sin over us. Christ has given us the power to rule and reign totally over sin, over the devil, all the wiles, everything. Because that's what we were created for. We were created for dominion, according to the first chapter of Genesis. And I wonder why so many Christians are living in defeat. Continuing on. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ died to give us a position of righteousness. We are either in one of two places. We are either in Christ or out of Christ. Right? You are a new creation. That word new means never before. There is never anything like you before seen. And contained within you is such a might of power that an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, is not compared to the power that God has placed in you. And this power is augmented through faith by love. Hear me. By faith through love. And we know that this love that God has given to us is not for ourselves, because we should no longer live for ourselves, correct? So then what we're contesting now is that now I'm in a position of righteousness. I now fight myself from faith to faith. Until I die to myself, Christ is not risen up in me. I do not have power in Jesus Christ because I'm still about me, myself, and Irene. That's the name of my wife. I didn't say it, but I'll use it. We have to understand, according to Romans 5:1, it is our faith that sets us at peace with God. Okay? We're at peace with God. So now we have to understand that if I'm justified by grace in God, then I'm at peace with Him. How many of you have the peace of Jesus Christ? All of us should have it. But do we experience it every day? No. Why? Because Satan still gets us focusing on the externals, not the internals for the eternal. If we reckon ourselves dead, we are dead to the world. We are dead to everything. Now hear me, I want to have balance here. The balance is, we're not going to do the same thing as the heathen does. We're not going to get all caught up in what the heathen wants to do. We're not going to be like little kids tossed to and fro, running around trying to figure out what's happening. We should know who we are succinctly in Jesus Christ. We are the righteousness of Christ in God. And that is the position that we must take from now on. The sin issues have to be taken care of. They're already done. So why monkey with them? If you're already dead to that and forgiven of those sins, then you know that according to Hebrews 6, let us go on. Let us move on from the elementary principles in Christ. And they are repentance, faith towards God, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, baptisms, and eternal judgment. And these are just the basic things that we're supposed to know. And we're supposed to go from them on to maturity. Okay? The issue here today, church, is do you have faith enough to start living for Christ or living the Christ-like life? Then what does that look like? You look at the scriptures and you see Jesus at nighttime praying and a whole bunch of people come and get him, and now he's healing the sick. He's delivering the demonics. He's praying to the Father. He's doing all kinds of things. When that phone rings, do we, let's not answer it. I got caller ID now on the TV. I don't want to answer that phone. Yeah, they're nothing but a pain. Or do we look at it, and hopefully today we will start looking at it as an opportunity to serve someone other than ourselves. You see, the church is filled up with a bunch of make-believers, pretenders. They know about God. They don't know God. The world doesn't know God and is not interested in God. And it is our job to show them that God's not boring. He's not some religion. He is a person who came here, died for us, and now wants to impart a kingdom to us. But how many of us believe that the kingdom is here now? The kingdom's now. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, boys, the kingdom's coming. Get your act together. The demoniac. The kingdom is coming. I'll deliver you when it gets here. No. He said, the kingdom is nigh you. Be unto your faith. Be unto your faith. It's not about how much I know about God. It's how much I know Him and I'm known by Him. Remember that little dissertation Jesus said? You know, the guy says, but Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I? And Jesus said, I didn't know you. Where you been, dude? And that's where the church is. The church says, I know about Jesus. I know about all this stuff. I know this. Are you living it? Are you experiencing it? Is it real to you? Because until it becomes real to you, you have no power. You are defeated. And you will continuously fight where Satan has got you focusing on yourself and all the stuff out here, not living as what you have been created. You are a new creation. A powerful person, a powerful spiritual person, dwelling in this flesh that no longer should control you. That all the power that God has now dwells in you. Do you believe this? I sometimes feel like the disciples on Emmaus when I start talking like that. My heart is burning. Because I want to see the people of God begin to start rising up into their fullness. You don't have to wait to heaven to get it. You can go to heaven now and bring it here and use it. And the church doesn't understand that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember we talked about occupation? The church is not supposed to sit around and sing kumbaya. The church is to get herself ready, destroying the works of the devil, not just here, out there. You read Acts, Were they coming to the temple and bringing everybody to the temple so that the temple priest could get them healed and delivered from demoniacs? No. The church went out there and got them, delivered them. Then they came. You see, the church has got it messed up. We tell them, come on, bring them in here. We'll have a revival service. No, you need to get revived and go out there and get them. In other words, I'm going to make you junkyard dogs. You're going to be such bad dudes and dudesses that you're going to go out there and chew up on Satan. But I don't know if I can, Pastor. I don't have the words. Oh, yeah, you got the words. You're a new creation. In that moment that you're supposed to speak, it's not you speaking. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Realize you have nothing to say. You just need to avail yourself. Well, you know what? Pastor, I'm caught in this sin. Repent, get it over with, and move on. It's a non-issue any longer, guys. And we beat ourselves up thinking that we've done something wrong. God is not surprised. He wants to get you from that childish behavior into where you can be an asset in His hands, a weapon. And you look at through the examples all through the Old Testament. Men and women who were sold out for God, who wanted only God, became weapons in His hands. Not just the prophets, not just David. You look at it. Ordinary people becoming extraordinary people in God. Now understand, God has given to each of us a measure of faith, according to Romans 12:3. That's what I call saving faith. When we were all heathens, we had faith for believing that we were going to get a paycheck, believing that the car was going to be fine, this, that, kids, whole nine yards. But then when we heard the gospel, it stirred our heart. And we got saved. That was the beginning of the expansion of faith in the Son of God. In you, the hope of glory. Not out of you, in you. And the more we die to ourselves, the more we die to our wants and desires, the more we live in obedience to Him, the more power we get. It's through my relationship with Jesus Christ that I'm able to heal the sick. Because I'm obedient to what He tells me to do. It's my ability to deliver people from the devil. No. Until I die and allow Him to come from me, I can't do anything. I would be no better than the seven sons of Sceva. And if I have no love, if I'm operating this to puff myself up, to make myself look good, and you guys know I do that really well. I tend to want to just hide in the corner, not like to be invisible and promote you guys, let you guys go do it. Until you reckon yourself dead to sin, controlling your bodies, controlling your emotions, controlling your spirits, or allowing your spirits to take control of all these things, you will be a defeated Christian. You will be bouncing between your righteous position and your unrighteous condition. Jesus Christ has taken care of your condition, has placed you in a position of power, and now it's up to you to take that and believe it and start walking in it. I am what the Word says I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you really believe it? Some of you know me, and you know that I'm real emphatic about the end times. I'm real emphatic about getting God's people moving so that they can live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And you have to understand, you are made righteous. You're in right standing because of what Christ did. You can't do enough for Jesus Christ to earn that position. He gave it to you. All you need to do is now sit in it and fight for it. This position is such a precious position for the church. But we don't want to die. We want to mingle around with the kids stuff. And God is saying, you know what? I want you guys to walk in this complete victory once and for all. And when you're able to do that and you're able to walk through a town and setting people free, Walk through a town while you're praying, and people are screaming at you, what do I need to do to get saved? I'm glad you asked that. Come on, sit down. I'll tell you the way to the eternal life. And we know these things are true because the forefathers that were big in the faith, they have written to us and told us these things. Smith Wigglesworth, who was a big one, an apostle of faith. He would just sit there, read his Bible. And people were getting convicted, walking past him, crying to him, what do I need to get saved? Well, you just need to do this. He'd go on a cruise. And the people had this entertainment, open mic night, we'll call it. And they said, what do you got? He said, oh, I'd like to sing a song. And they said, well, what kind of song you want to sing? He said, oh, I want to sing this song. Well, that's a religious song. We don't want that. He goes, okay, well, you know, this is what I want to do. Okay, fine. So the people left when he stood there at the microphone and he sang. And the Spirit moved upon that ship that people got saved. Where's your faith? We run from those opportunities. We should run to them and embrace them. Why? Because our Father has given us an opportunity not to puff ourselves up, but to win somebody. Do you love God? If you love God, you'll recognize that opportunity, and because there's somebody that's going to get saved. There's somebody that's going to get delivered. They're going to take that testimony back to a person. That person's going to find out what's going on. How did they overcome the adversary? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and didn't care about their self-life. The just shall live by faith. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Not some things, not just a couple things. All things are possible. Why? Because there's nothing impossible with God. I've been caught up in the Spirit sometimes and my brain just shuts down because I cannot comprehend the immensity of God. And I just say, Father, forgive me. I just can't comprehend. He says, one day you will. And the Bible says, that day is when I'm standing face to face, I'll be just like Jesus. I'll see everything just like Jesus. I'll understand everything. But until that time, I cannot comprehend the immensity of God and his plan for me, for this church, for people that are still coming to be a part of this. This is radical Christianity. This is not pew-sitting Christianity. If I had my druthers, we'd pull these pools out of here, get rid of them, set them on fire, and have an open room here. All things are possible. All things. You got saved. You believed you got saved. Are you saved? Do you believe you're saved? How do you know you're saved? By faith, yeah. It wasn't anything you did except you heard, you moved on and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want your life. It was really that simple, childlike. Now when he says to you, Holly, I need you to go over here and pray for Karen. Lay hands on her and she will be healed of her infirmity. I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but I'm saying something he may. Hypothetically. The decision is, do I get up after hearing what the Spirit is saying and go over and lay hands? Or are we going to still be so worried about, well, what are they going to say if I do that? You know, Sister so-and-so is such a spiritual person. You know, Miss Karen will not allow me to lay hands. That may. You see, we're supposed to practice here, then do it out there. That should be our daily lives. An occupation, that word occupation that was talking about earlier, is our normal daily job. What is our normal daily job? Preach the gospel, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? Casting out demons, raising up the dead, speaking other tongues. That's our job. That isn't an option. That's who we are. That's our job. Dory, when was the last time you raised somebody from the dead? Yeah. Have you raised anybody from the dead since you've come to Christ? Okay. There's a great opportunity. You have to believe. You have to believe. If you don't believe it, when that opportunity comes, you'll miss it. And we like to say in my house, preparation, preparation, preparation. When preparation and opportunity comes and they meet, you have success. You can be preparing till the cows come home and miss every opportunity that God sends your way, and you'll never have success. And that's what's been happening with the church. The church has been playing around with sin. The church has been doing all this other stuff. The church has not taken their position seriously enough to understand and by faith begin to stand up in God. You're a new creation. All things are possible for you. Nothing's impossible. Nothing. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care. All I care about is people getting saved before the King comes. So that His house is full and that we're caught faithfully working in His fields. That's all I care about. So nothing's impossible to me. As unto your faith. And you must exercise your faith all the time. John 14, 11 through 13 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you take your position, you are in Jesus Christ. Your life is hidden. It's not yours anymore. Well, you know what? I have to go grocery shopping. Come on. Let's get common sense here. I know you have to do that. But at the grocery store, if there's somebody that's having a bad day and you walk past them and say, oh, peace be with you. What good is that? You have an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom of God to somebody in a real practical sense. I can't tell you how many times we've gone to the store and people just start talking to us, bending our ear. And all I asked was, hey, how's your day? And they just start talking. But then when I bring up Jesus, they don't want to talk no more. They don't want to have anything to do with me, which is fine. That doesn't mean I can't pray in tongues and put it on them in the Spirit. I don't have to reap every time I'm sowing. But I have to be doing something. I'm either sowing, I'm watering, I'm weeding. Maybe God allows me to reap a soul here and there. But just think of how it is for us. If all of us did it, and all of us began to start thinking in that realm, instead of, oh, well, you know what? My Cowboys lost last week, so I'm done. You know. I don't even come to church now because no more football. Don't come to church. I don't want you coming here for me. I want you coming here because you're serious about your walk with God. My kids know. Don't show up for me. Show up for God. Because He's worthy of showing up for. I'm not. I'm just some flunky out there trying to cast a vision that God has given to me. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is tired of religion. I believe they're tired of running from pond to pond looking for a place where the Word of God will challenge them and encourage them to be all that they can be in Jesus Christ. I also believe that the Church is afraid. I think the Church is afraid because they're afraid of failure. What if I fail? Will Jesus be mad at me? Come on. Are you mad at your kids when they mess up? Yeah, you should have seen what my kid colored the whole wall. But that was a great opportunity for you to minister truth on the seat of their understanding. Amen? Do I get amens? Yeah, see? That's all practical stuff. And I've been there. Irene caught me writing on the wall. This morning. That's not true. The one of the greatest elements that God has given to us that we do not use because we want to be so spiritual is common sense. Common sense is wisdom from on high. Did you realize that? Common sense. I have people tell me, and I was driving with a person last week from church, and this person was telling me, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I'm like, why not? And I just start quoting scriptures. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I'll get around it to Tuesday. You know, the people of God are supposed to seize the opportunities in the lifetime of that opportunity. And when I get done this sermon, I'm going to go talk to that person to see if they did what I asked them to do. If not, I'll have to lay hands on them and pray for them that I don't yell at them. Are you serious about your walk with Jesus Christ? Is the question. If you're not, you're wasting my time. You're wasting the King's time. And that may sound hard because, you know what, we're a little church and, you know, there's a lot of things going on and our leaders are overworked. But you know what? It's about time the church starts stepping up and getting involved. It's about time the church starts taking its position and stop monkeying around with sin and making all kinds of excuses for their behavior. It's about time that the church really understands that, you know, a head faith is not going to get me anywhere in the spirit realm. The church has to realize that fear is a spirit. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Which means you're going to be nuts for Jesus. That's what that means. Church. In order for us to progress into these things, we have to knock down some of these false fences that have been created about faith. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about faith. I'm going to be talking about heart faith versus head faith. And you're going to know exactly where you've been. Heart faith comes knowing in your knower. Head faith is knowing about by having no real experience. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures. We're going to talk about going from faith to faith, a maturing faith. A faith that, remember last week I said, you have to exercise all the time. Coming to church is an act of faith, whether you understand it or not. Because all hell breaks loose in your homes to get you here. Really, that's the truth. Satan doesn't want you coming here. He doesn't want you to find out who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to understand the power and authority that you have now in Jesus Christ. And most of all, he doesn't want you to use it against his kingdom. And if he can keep you playing around with the kids' stuff and the lollipops and, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I got all these zits now because I ate too much of the world's sugar. Repent. Get it under the blood. Move on. It's that simple. God is not angry with us. He wants to encourage us to grow in our faith and walk with him, not be afraid of him. Our success is guaranteed. Jesus won the war. Our success is guaranteed. It is. You're in a win-win situation. You mess up, repent, you win. You do what he says, you win. What better deal is that? And yet, we sit back like we can still live our lives as though we have no accountability in that. But we know he's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to come here. He's going to lay waste to the nations. Hopefully, we will be there on his side, judging nations, judging angels. Because he did say, count yourself worthy. Check, see if you're worthy of the kingdom. Church, hear me. This is real important. You need to ignite your faith. Where you are now, now start believing God for something greater. Greater than you can even provide for. Because you see, it's not faith if you can do it. It's faith when you realize you can't do it and He has to. That's faith. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your word today, Lord God. Father, cement in our hearts that we are forever in Jesus Christ. Our lives are hidden in Him, and now the life that we live now, God, is to live for Him, allowing Jesus Christ to come out from us. And God, that's going to take some time for us. And I ask God for Your grace and Your mercy in our lives, that as we kill self and we kill it on the cross, Lord God, that Father, the life of Jesus Christ would just emanate in power from us. That God, wouldn't it be so cool for us to just go into our families and having a party, a birthday party or something, and people are just getting uncomfortable because the Spirit is drawing them. Wouldn't it be so cool, God, for us to just lay hands on people that are sick by Your leading, of course, God, and they recover. But Father, wouldn't it be so cool that we could love unconditionally? No matter what people have done, that we would love. No matter how disappointed we are in them. No matter how betrayed we have been by them. It doesn't matter, God. If we haven't loved, God, then what good is our faith and what good is us growing in You? Father, I ask that You cause Your love just to burn in our hearts, that our faith would increase and trust You, God, for all the impossibilities. And God, that Your church would arise in power without spot or wrinkle, that Your house would be full, Lord, and that what we do is always pleasing unto You, because after all, the just shall live by faith, and so shall we, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.